Jesus, give thanks for this morning, gathering in your house, seek your face, seek your word, Lord. We just want to open our hearts and minds to whatever you have in store for us today, and help us to understand and apply, and that your word would just touch us and be so meaningful. We give you this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So the last time I shared at EMP, I preached on, I'm going through 1 Corinthians, and I'm at chapter 15, and I was, it's about Apostle Paul, and he says some interesting statements. In verse 9, he says, "For I am the least of the apostles." For I am the least of the apostles. And he means this because he feels like he looks into his past and he sees what he's done, right? And in comparison to the others, right, whether it be a fisherman, a tax collector, you know, they, what he's done in terms of persecuting Christians, he feels like is far worse. So he says, "I am the least." He puts himself in comparison at the bottom. But then later, in verse 10, he says, "I labored even more than all of them." And so he's saying, yeah, so right now, ever since I became a Christian, in terms of post-Christian life, actually, I'm the most, right? He says, I work the hardest. And what I wanted to, so we see that Paul, in one hand, he's kind of looking down on himself and looking up at others when he says, "I am the least of the apostles." And then later, he puts himself at the top and compares himself to the other apostles, and he looks down at them. So, of course, when we're looking up or looking down at other people and comparing ourselves, we're comparing. And I just wanted to kind of stay here for a bit on this idea of comparing, and how Paul kind of deals with this is at the end he just says it was by the grace of God, right? His conclusion is, oh, it's the grace of God. So the way he handled and dealt with comparing to the apostles up, down, he's like, basically, he doesn't put too much value into comparing. And end of the day, it's by the grace of God. He recognized it's really God that matters in his life. But I guess the question was like, oh, is it? So how do we deal with this comparing? Is it always just, or if we compare ourselves with other people, is it we just go, oh, it's no big deal, right? And so I just wanted to stay, and so I guess the topic for today for EMP is on comparing. And then in Matthew 18, verse 1, disciples are together, and it says, it's written, "At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, 'Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?'" And so they're arguing with each other. Who's the best? Who's the best disciple? Right? Who's the best Jew? And so they're not just comparing in their head, they're comparing out loud with each other, saying, who's the best? Who's the best? Right? And, of course, Jesus puts a stop to this. And this is also comparing. That is not so good. But I felt like where it really made things clear of how do we handle this comparing is from Luke 18, 9 to 14, it's the parable. So Luke 18, starting in verse 9, It says, and he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Okay, so it was interesting. I was talking to Pastor Nate about this. And so this is a very common, well-known parable that you've known since you were a little kid. I didn't become a Christian till much later life. And so, I mean, the point of oftentimes the parable are things aren't super obvious. And you know, the first time I ever read this, I actually thought what the Pharisee said, I thought it was actually pretty good. Like, I was like, oh, that's a really good prayer, right? It's like, yes, Lord. What is he doing? He's looking at his circumstances, and you could say he's very grateful, right? Don't we do that? Like, oh, like if you don't have a job, I'm like, or no, if you're not happy with your job, you're like, oh, at least I have a job. There's people who don't have a job. Or, you know, I think it's ingrained in us, right? Like, you know, we say this to children, if you remember when you were a child, you're eating your food, and especially like, and you're full, you're like, oh, you're not really full, you're just sick of eating, right? I'm full, I don't want to eat anymore. What do your parents say to you? Like, finish your food. Do you know that there are children in some third world country slotted in, and they have no food? Eat your food. You're so ungrateful. And then you're like, oh, okay, I'll finish my food. And so, in essence, it's the exact same thing. Don't compare yourself to the people who are less fortunate, right? And you should feel grateful. This is exactly what the Pharisee is doing, right? He says, thank you, I'm not like others. You could put in, like, oh, maybe he's being fake about it, right? Maybe. But he says, I'm so grateful, I'm like others. I'm not like those bad people, right? In fact, I fast twice a week. I pay tithes all that I get. Is that so bad, what he did? Well, obviously, Jesus, thankfully, he actually explains the parable, or else I might have been like, oh yeah, that was a really great prayer. The reason this prayer was displeasing to God, really, it came to the idea of he was comparing himself. He was comparing himself to other people, and he put too much value in it, right? You look at the Apostle Paul. One key element was he was comparing. He compared himself to the disciples up or down, but he did not put too much value into it, right? And this idea of self-righteousness, it's a bad thing, right? Self-righteousness, it's frowned upon. What is self-righteousness? Self-righteousness is when you look at yourself, right, and you compare it to other people. This is exactly what the Pharisee was doing. And if you feel like where you're at is better than where another person is at, then you feel righteous, It's something that's based on your own acts and services. And he doesn't, so even though he's, notice, even though he's like mentioning all these things, and he even mentions fasting and tithing, it really has nothing to do with God. It's all about his works, his acts, right? It's not, it has nothing about, it's just, this is what I do. And so he's like, hey, look, I fast twice a week. Compared to these people who don't fast at all, I'm better than them, and therefore I'm righteous. That's self-righteousness, using your own yourself as your own standard. And this can happen the other way too, is where we look at someone, compare someone up, and they seem more righteous, and then we don't feel righteous, right? It's like, it's instead of being, we're feeling self-unrighteous through our comparison. This is probably what social media does all the time, right? When we're posting something really important, maybe you're hoping, oh, I'm going to make people look up at me, and they'll see how of an amazing moment this was. And when you're looking at other people who are also doing that, then you're looking up at them, right? It's something all of us do, right? So it would be a little deceitful to say, I never compare myself. No, the reality is we always compare ourselves all the time. Now, what is the key? The key is when you do compare yourself to other people, don't put too much value into it. Don't put too much value put. So what should we compare ourselves to? What should we put our value into? Well, that's the second person, the tax collector. He just looks to heaven. Oh, I'm willing to look up to heaven. I'm sure his heart is looking to heaven. And he's beating his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, this sinner. So when we do compare, who do we compare ourselves to? Who's the only one worthy to compare ourselves to? It's God, right? So we need to, like, we always compare. It's not that there's no one to compare. We compare ourselves to God. And then this is true righteousness, right? Self-righteousness is you're putting yourself as the standard and feeling better and feeling self-righteous with yourself compared to other people. True righteousness, God righteousness, is when you compare yourself to God. What's the result when you compare yourself to God? It's this, right? It's God, be merciful to me, the sinner. We'll recognize, just as Paul, when he realizes, and even more so as he grows, that he falls short. That I can't live up to the standards that God has for me. Fortunately, Jesus died on the cross for us. And as a result, right, we are forgiven of our sins. We're doing things in partnership. And what is the result of this when we recognize that we are just, we need mercy and we're sinners? We need God, right? If this was not true, then we, number one, we wouldn't need God. Number two, none of us would really be humble, right? Then it would really be based on our works and achievement. But the result is, and this is true, especially when we're all brothers and sisters, especially for all Christians, this is really how we should feel, right? We're all in the same boat. We all need the mercy of God. And when this happens, then we can truly boast in the Lord, right? In 1 Corinthians 1:31, Paul says, let them who boast, boast in the Lord. I always thought that was kind of a confusing statement. Huh? What does that mean, boast in the Lord? Well, it can happen, but it must start with you knowing your standing, which is like, oh, I'm so weak, I'm a sinner. And so, therefore, when you are able to boast, right, the reason you're boasting in the Lord is you're recognizing it really is not by me, right? I'm in need of such mercy, and I'm in need of God's strength. And so when things happen, right, you boast in the Lord. You're like, God, I did it. Not through me myself, but it was you. And we do that already, but I don't think oftentimes we do it sincerely. We'll be like, I don't know, like, oh, I don't know, Crystal, good job today. You did a great job on outreach. And we're like, and then you'll right away be like, oh, it's God. It's God. Don't give me the credit, right? Which, that is the right response, but it should not be an automated response, right? It should be something that we are thoughtful and like, thoughtful of what part you played. And it's okay to be real and acknowledge, oh, this is my part to play. But again, you don't put too much value in it, right? It's like, oh yeah, this paid. I really did try my best. But end of the day, you know how the people were touched by the Holy Spirit, or, you know, the love that I felt for them, that really wasn't me, because I know my heart, right? I didn't even really want to come that much. And then when I came, wow, the love of God overflow. And thus, you boast in the Lord. I'm going to invite Cardi up. Just to summarize on comparison, we all do it. We all compare to people, to, I don't know, people's social media. But the key is, don't put so much value into it. We can acknowledge, right? But don't put too much value. Don't compare yourself so much to your colleagues, right? Your friends. Don't put too much value into it. But instead, just humble yourself and compare yourself to the Lord and what He expects and how perfect He is. Right? And we'll recognize we're in need of mercy. We're a sinner. We're unable. And that's only with that revelation is when we really give God the opportunity to move in our lives, because we give Him that space, as well as that's when we truly desire and need God, right? It's more than just worship songs. But yeah, that's really the truth. We need the Lord.
The humble heart of love.
Let's just take a minute. Let's just go before the Lord. Acknowledge our need, our weakness before Him. Asking Him for mercy in His intervention into our lives. Turn to our screens. Let's pray for our community, those on the cancer list. Let's pray for God's touch to heal, to encourage, to give those who are dealing with this, you know, situation the strength to continue. Let's pray for the loved ones around them as well. Let's pray for those who are suffering from illness and salvation. Pray for God to bring healing as well as reveal Himself and use the people around them to share on who God is. Thank you.
next slide. Let's also pray for those who are suffering from infirmities. Pray for, yeah, God to just heal them fully. Let's also pray for those with COVID. Let's pray for their full healing and recovery. Especially if the symptoms to be done with. Let's also pray for protection and covering over the frontline medical workers. Let's pray for also those on the jobs list. Let's pray for God's provision and leading and guidance. Go to our mission focus. Let's pray for Singapore, SPSG with PSAM Kim. Let's pray for Indonesia, SPIN, led by Pastor Salomon, as well as Philippines, SPIL, led by Pastor Ernie. Let's cover the prayer and healing ministries. Let's pray for the IP team, Matt, led by Matt The Well, led by Harris and Christina, as well as River, led by Rachel. pray for our local outreach. Let's pray for Agape, Homey, Bridge, and Recreation. Let's also pray for SP 2.0, the Building and Resources Benefactor and Vision Fund. Let's pray for the pregnancies. Let's pray for Rachel B., Joni, and any other moms you might be aware of. Let's pray for protection and peace during this time. Finally, let's also pray for the house churches. Let's pray for East Bay, First Street, McRobinson, New Conduit, Olympic, Robin Hood, and Ventress. Pray for just a wonderful last house church of the year. And it'll be a time of reflection, celebration, and unity. One more. If we could pray for Pastor Sam Song, the newest from yesterday, from the doctor's diagnosis, was the liver was a bit off. He'll find out more after today's blood test, but possibly a stone fell into bile duct, so we'll need to have one more surgery to remove. That would be the worst case scenario. So let's just pray for PSAM that for the best case scenario. Let's pray for God to just heal him and restore his body supernaturally. And so then he can just start the recovery process and just be able to get a lot of rest. So let's pray for him. Thank you. Let's pray. Jesus, we just give thanks to you, and that we have you to go to lean on, Lord, that, you know, yes, we will never be able to match your perfection, Lord, your amazingness, but at the same time, it's not just like that does not bring us down, Lord, but because of how wonderful you are, Lord, it just allows us to come to you, Lord, even when we are unable, even in our imperfection and insecurities and inability, Lord, we have you, Lord, to turn to cry out to, that we can just be free to be ourselves and cry to you for help, asking for grace and mercy, Lord. And then really just be able to boast in you, Lord. And so, Lord, I just pray for all of us that freedom where we can just be our imperfect selves, Lord. We would be able to not get down on ourselves, but be free in you, knowing that you can touch us and transform us and use us, Lord, in the midst of our circumstances and situations, and come out as victors, Lord, through you. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.